Chapter 42, The Devil Made Me Do It. This is the place. Apollyon informed as the bus-sized submarine surfaced on the sea. They were looking at an island 150 miles off the southeast coast of the Solomon Islands. Yasmin was on the beach waving to them. She held a young boy in her hands, around the age of 3. Her hair was longer, and she developed a tan. There was an off-the-grid compound with all the necessities of the first world. It was a small community, an oasis in the apocalypse. There was a cave lake on the island that retained fresh water. The community was built upon it, and they recycled the precious fluids. Apollyon and Azriel came ashore on an inflatable boat. Azriel, Yasmin said as she embraced him and kissed him on the cheek. It was awkward for Azriel, but he did his best to hide it. Hey, Apollyon, she spoke. This is Raziel, she said, introducing Azriel to their son. He looks like you, she said, looking to the boy. Raziel, this is your father, Yasmin told him. Hey, Raziel said, bashfully looking away. Hey, Raziel, Azriel said, crouching to look him in the eyes. He resembled Azriel, but he clearly had Yasmin's light green eyes. He looked for signs of the devil in him and found none. Does he have a tail? He asked Yasmin. She glared at him with disapproval. No, he doesn't. No horns. She rolled her eyes. He's a normal kid, she insisted. They're all normal kids, she affirmed. How are you still alive? And how did you heal yourself? It's like a whole new body. Are you a clone? Wow, she told him, biting her bottom lip. No, I got a pass. He shrugged. Wait, what happened to 3 billion man army? She asked, rounding up. They're all dead, he said coldly. What do you mean? She asked, confused. You're here, she insisted. You mean to say there were no survivors but you? She asked. When I came through from my coma, I was lying in a literal lake of blood, he told her. Yodova is there soaked in it, sitting on a white stead. He's casually chatting with his legions while there's blood up to the horse's bridle. He told Yasmin, raising his hand to show how high the lake of blood was. After he miraculously healed and pardoned me, I had a fucking panic attack, and I fled towards the mountains, and no one seemed to mind. He shrugged. The color left Yasmin's face as she imagined the horrors Azriel endured. They're all dead? Yasmin asked in disbelief. Azriel nodded slowly. Where is Yodova now? She asked. In Jerusalem, preparing for a 1,000-year occupation, Azriel said. They're going to land their mothership soon, and that means reinforcements, Azriel warned. How are we going to fight them? She asked, holding Raziel under her arm like a squirming bag of potatoes. She finally put him down to play in the sand. We're not, Azriel said, watching the boy draw lines in the wet beach sand. At first he thought they were childish scribbling, but the boy was writing in hieroglyphics. The adults paid him no mind. Right now, we don't have the technology to beat the Christ. This guy liquefied billions of armored men with a single spoken word in the blink of an eye, he told her. Some sort of ultrasonic weapon. I don't know. His armies have arsenals you can't even imagine, beams that can cleave open the planet, earthquake machines and storm generators. He's too fucking powerful, Yasmin. I'm retreating to the moon, he told her. And I'm here to petition you, Raziel, all the other ladies and children, he spoke. They're all boys, she interjected. 666 boys, Yasmin affirmed. The boys, I think we should all go to the moon. The Imperial Moon Palace can comfortably house 5,000 people. The moon itself is bigger than the United States and Russia combined. There should be more than enough room for all of us to peacefully coexist, he insisted. How fortunate for you to be the only man on the moon with over 700 beautiful women, Yasmin replied sarcastically. Yasmin, this is not my dream scenario. Truth be told, I wouldn't even be in this mess if the devil didn't make me do it. He explained to Yasmin's laughter, realizing how ridiculous he sounded. The devil made me do it. He laughed to himself. This is probably the only acceptable scenario where that is a reasonable response. Yasmin smiled. But you're about to have baby mama drama like you could never imagine, she half joked. We have to explain this moon exodus plan to the council, Yasmin said, leading him to the village of the devil's whores. The council? Azriel asked. Do you really think a society of women could live in harmony without governance? She asked. You may find a colony of single mothers to be more hostile than a camp of militant-minded men, she suggested. We created a council of seven to rule the 777, she explained. Power sharing? Azriel questioned. Gross, he said, displaying his disapproval on his face. Governance is so much easier with absolute power, he insisted. Was it really, Azriel? Yasmin questioned his tenure as Emperor of the World. Yes, absent of the extraterrestrial invaders and whatnot, he replied. Do you know why China eventually overthrew the U.S.? He asked. Strength in the numbers? I don't know. Humor me, she said as they walked a long beach. Because America was power sharing. Every 4 years, the U.S. presidents were ousted by the Constitution. During their tenure, political parties fought to undermine the sitting presidents. They wasted taxpayer dollars with frivolous impeachment efforts. He continued, one president leaves office, and the incoming president strives to undo the efforts of their predecessor. Hence, 10 years only produced 1 year of progress, he explained. The Chinese, however, had an emperor with near absolute power. There was no bickering between political parties, there was just one. He continued. If the emperor wanted to end public smoking, he didn't have to deal with the Congress or the Senate or tobacco lobbyists for that matter. His will became law, Azriel explained. China didn't think short-term in four-year increments. They had a 50-year plan for their empire, and they stuck with. If these extraterrestrial jerk-offs didn't invade the world, the FWO would have most likely gone to war with the Chinese. He concluded, well, there's no Empress of Whore Island. We run somewhat of a democracy. Yasmin shrugged. Whore Island? He questioned. Is that what you gals named this place? He laughed, looking around the shore of the deserted paradise. No, but the devil did, and the name kinda stuck. Who used to invade our dreams talking so much shit? She explained while she shook her head. Hey, Azriel. Ziva waved, holding a son the same age as Yasmin's. The child was an exact replica of Raziel. Hey? Azriel said, befuddled. You're here too, I see. He spoke. He gave a surprised wave to Boa and Miyoshi, who were cutting mangoes for breakfast. Yes, I stayed in Israel for a while, taking advantage of your hospitality, she said. I ran into Lord Ominous, and he offered to extend it, she explained. This is Ramses, Ziva said, pointing to her child. Yasmin grabbed his arm. We'll be back for all of them later, she said, pulling him through a crowd of gorgeous women and children. They glared at him offensively. Tanya stood in their path with her three-year-old. There he is, Vespasian, she pointed. There's your daddy, Tanya said to the child in her arms. Azriel waved at the boy. Then he scanned the sea of faces in the tiny women-run village. Some of them he knew. Others were perfect strangers. One thing Azriel could admit was the devil had good taste. Yasmin took him to a small building meant for meetings. Six women sat at a rectangular table. Yasmin took a seat and became the seventh. You had yourself quite a run of debauchery. The sexy intellectual woman sitting at the head of the table said. She was Angela Starr, the first black woman U.S. president. and an elitist among the devil's whores. Whoa, Madam President, to be fair, the devil made me do it, he said in his defense. While I'm sure this is an exceptional case in dissociative disorder, quite a few many lives have been impacted and we need to discuss the appropriate reparations package. She said like a true polished politician. Reparations? In the end of the world? Sure. What do you ladies want? Bitcoin? He asked. I have over 3 million of them. I'll give you ladies half. He offered. Divide by 777. Multiply by. He mumbled aloud. Before the world went to hell and the demonic empire enforced those silly control coins, BTC was trading at 100 million USD. He explained. 1.5 million Bitcoin divided up among all 777 ladies. That's nearly, what, $200 billion apiece, he said, making the calculations in his head. How's that for child support? He asked with a sales pitch smile. Unfortunately, blessed civilization and commerce have come to an end. I don't know who you would spend it with beyond yourselves. He shrugged. What do you mean? Angela asked. Haven't you won the war? She inquired with bewilderment. Asriel laughed before he explained to the council the state of the world, and Apollyon showed them the footage of the angel tossing the megacity formerly known as God's Temple into the sea. The council was shocked at the sight of such power and destruction. They're pretty much mashing up the cities and purging the so-called unworthy. He explained. It's only a matter of time before they piss fire and brimstone all over this place. He warned. What are you going to do? The stunning Nobel Prize winner for quantum physics, Dr. Larissa Eben, asked. She was a senior member on the board at CERN and regularly accessed the Large Hadron Collider. She made groundbreaking advancements in quantum entanglement and the production of antimatter. She recently published a thesis on how to weaponize the latter. I'm going to the moon, he told Larissa. I come to bestow a formal invitation for all of you to join me, he explained to the council. You're asking us to flee from Earth? The heavyset woman wearing the black cloth of the former Catholic Church asked. This man, this Yodova, killed everyone that I know, Sister Fiona Robeson grunted. She was appointed by the devil to be the satanic puppet, the female pope, and spread his demonic gospel. She was cute, and Asriel could see her gigantic butt from the front, noting why the devil chose her. After she became with child, Apollyon secretly spirited her away to Whore Island along with all the devil's other baby mamas. You're going to retreat after he left so much death? She asked. All the death is precisely why I am fleeing this rock. Asriel confessed. I'm no coward. I fought wars on all 7 continents, he told the poppet. But I know when there's a battle I can't win, and there is nowhere on this earth where we will be safe from the Christ and his barbarous angels, he promised the council. Why not Mars? Angela asked thoughtfully. They already have an emperor over there, that fellow from Tesla. Those Martians are all about that chip in the brain life, though, so if you go to Mars, prepare to plug in. Asriel warned. Me. I had my fair share of brain implants. I'm down to go to Jupiter eventually, but I will not be going to Mars. He told Angela up front. Tell me more about this moon palace, Angela said, putting her feet up on the table. How will we be sharing power? She asked. While Yasmin claimed they ran a democracy, Angela seemed to exert more authority over the ladies. Perhaps it stemmed from her former position as a U.S. president. I hate to break it to you, but I ran the world. Asriel thought but didn't say. He noted her air of perceived superiority. It was in her body language, gaze, and tone of voice. He pondered if she could turn all the ladies against him on the moon and was having second thoughts. It's a pressurized, self-sustained city about 7 miles high, 7 miles wide, he explained. There's greenhouses and protein cloners for food. It has all the amenities of our heaven, just a little smaller. he told the council, "In regard to your power-sharing inquiry, I have no intentions of divvying up my command. Quite frankly, we will be using my imperial resources I worked oh so hard to retain. My house, my rules," he said bluntly to Angela. "So, you intend to run a dictatorship over the women you impregnated?" Angela asked with an instigative tone. "No one's forcing you to join me," Azrael insisted. "You may democratically stay your ass behind and be queen of Whore Island until Yodova takes a fiery shit on this place. I don't care," he told Angela sternly. "Hell, you're free to go to Mars and the stars if you got your own rockets," he added impertinently. "But on my moon palace, I'm in charge," he said conclusively. Will we ever be able to return to Earth?" Sister Fiona asked. "Most likely not, unless you plan on living 1,000 years. He joked, but no one laughed. "The Earth's a pearl, it truly is, but it's occupied by the murderous Christ and his legions," he explained. "Everyone you know is most likely dead or they're with the Christ and they want you dead," he added. "I don't know, I really don't know," Fiona threw up her hands. "You're more than welcome to take your chances with the alien angels as well," Azrael told her, losing his patience with the women he came to save. "Yodova let you live," she pointed out. "He may yet spare our lives as well," she suggested. Azrael laughed. "Although I committed mass murder of the Christians, in some way, I'm just as innocent as those children out there." He pointed back. "We didn't ask to be born of the devil," he told the Lady Pope. "Yodova may or may not spare the lives of these poor, innocent spawns of Satan, but he will most certainly punish and purge all of the women who willingly gave themselves to the beast in exchange for personal gain," he insisted. The sister turned away with shameful eyes. "I'm going to the moon. Anyone who wants to come can meet me at the launch pad the robots are building on the south side of the island," he said, walking to the door. "Wait, Azrael," Yasmin said, chasing after him. "Give them a moment to think it over," she requested, tugging at his muscular arm. "A moment is ambiguous, and we have a very small window to leave this rock," Azrael said coldly. "They have 1 hour to decide," he said loud enough for the council to hear him. "Then they have an additional 2 hours to pack their shit and board the shuttles," he said louder. He turned to the remaining council. "Just so we're clear, I'm the big dick in charge," he said bluntly. "My way or the Milky Way. All governance of Muff Muncher Island here will be dissolved once you board those rockets. All resistance will be met with the same brutality used on the Christians. Ask about me. I'm not Satan, but I'm a monster," he ensured the ruling council. "You can plan your little feminist revolt over my dead body," Azrael barked on his way out the door. He wasn't mad, he was merely being assertive. While he was confident the women could establish an effective government to rule themselves, Azrael, the alpha of all alphas, wasn't willing to be ruled by anyone, not to mention by the angry women the devil impregnated. He could see them forming a feminine fascist regime where they kept him bound in a dungeon only to be milked for his sperm. He shuddered as he envisioned robotic tubes on his genitals, extracting his semen, shrinking his testicles to the size of green peas. "Not in my moon palace," he told himself as he walked out the door. Yasmin followed. The sky was still a strange hue of pink. "You know I'm on board with you, Azrael," she said, tugging at his shirt sleeve. "I'll keep those bitches in line," she assured him. "You always have been, Yasmin," he said and kissed her on the forehead, then headed towards the launch pad. The physicist chased after him. "Azrael," Larissa called. "Wait," the doctor yelled. Azrael stopped to meet her on the dirt path. "Hey, Larissa," he greeted her. "I wish we had more time. I would love to pick your brains on your life's work. The quantum world is so fascinating," he told her. Indeed it is. She smiled. I wanted to tell you, my son, she corrected. Our son? She questioned. Einstein and I will be coming with you, she told him. But before we go, I would like to briefly discuss a bit of my work. She spoke. Azriel glanced at his red Martian Man Rolex watch. Its red second hand glided perpetually over the polished burgundy face. Rubies replaced the numbers, and the band was made from a precious red metal only found on Mars. It was 10:30 hours. Let's chat, Azriel told her as they turned to face the beach. Larissa summarized her research and development regarding quantum entanglement and use cases for weaponization. Wow, Azriel exclaimed. You can release enough energy to destroy the world 1,000 times over just by reversing the poles in quantum entanglement? Azriel asked. In a nutshell, yes, she affirmed. I felt I needed to share this information with our fearless leader right away, she enthusiastically informed. I appreciate you bringing this to my attention. Azriel thanked her. This will definitely be remembered on the moon colony, he promised as they walked back to the village. Azriel was confident he had found a technical ally in Larissa. He built an empire with technology and a little help from the devil. Still, having a Nobel Prize winner on board was going to be very useful.
Azriel did his best to meet and greet as many of the women and their sons on his way to the launch pad. A lot of them were upset, a few were understanding, but they all were in it together.
Azriel noticed the devil liked his women beautiful, but he also liked them powerful, passionate, and brilliant. These weren't average women. They weren't broke or dependent. They had dreams and made significant contributions to the empire with a little help from Satan. Many of the devil's whores were world leaders or chiefs in their industry and celebrities who made literal blood pacts with Satan in exchange for more power and influence. Their mark of the beast came in the form of a living, breathing child. Azriel understood how the powerful women served the devil's former regime, but he had the eerie feeling their offspring served a demonic purpose in the future. What was the devil's plan for the children? Was the former siege of Earth a dry run? Azriel wondered as he kissed yet another baby that resembles himself.